Good morning. This morning I have a burden to encourage us to trust in the Lord in a greater and deeper, more personal way. I'm not sure what all scriptures that the Lord will bring. There's so many in my mind. I'm asking the Lord to clarify it and to help me to be brief, but to bring out the burden that the Lord has given to me. And so since I've said the bottom line, then sometimes the speech goes all the way around and then says the bottom line. But the bottom line this morning is that we might put our trust in the Lord. Scripture, I'll begin in Jeremiah chapter 17. We went through the book of Jeremiah sometime this past year, and I'm beginning to see the theme in these books is for God's calling his people to return to him constantly, to return to trust and belief and faith in him, and to come back from putting our faith and our trust in any other thing. And you read that a lot in this book. He would come to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was 14 years old when the Lord began to talk to him and deal with him and give him his calling to speak to the people of Israel and to warn them. And he was very afraid and felt very small. Well, he was small. He was just 14. But the Lord definitely commissioned him and sent him. And you read about Jeremiah, and it's quite a story. All of the things that happened to him as he was led to speak to this king and to that king and to talk to the children of Israel and to warn them. And they would get angry with him, and they would try to kill him, and they put him down in a pit. And God sent a kind man to get him out. And he would sustain him in all kinds of trouble, famine. The carrying away and the fulfilling of all of his prophecies came right before his eyes, and the Lord took care of him. And in all of that, he gave this message constantly to trust in the Lord and to not fear man, but to just trust God. So in chapter 17, in verse 5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." When a man's trust is in the Lord, I believe what he's wanting us to get is that we can be in all kinds of situations, but we do not need to fear or try to figure things out, but to just rely, completely rely, put our trust in the Lord. That's not just something that's haphazard, but it's a deliberate placing of my dependence, my reliance, my expectation. He is going to do what his word has said he will do. He will take care of me. And it seems like to me, I can see that in all of the trials of my life, especially in recent years, that has been the end. That has been the point that the Lord's wanted to make. You can trust in me. You can bring everything to me. Pray about everything. Pray about every little thing. Pray believing. Pray with expectation. Pray with the knowledge of who I am and what I can do for you. Don't try constantly to figure things out, to control the situation. But put your trust in me. Give this burden to me. bring this mountain to me. I can remove the mountain or I can give you grace to climb it. Either way, it becomes flat to you and a miracle is done. God is a worker of miracles. God is a Father, a Heavenly Father. He preserves us. He gives us life. He sustains life. He protects us. He shields us. He gentles us. He carries us. If things are too hard, He gets you out of it or gets you away from it. Or if He sees that His grace is sufficient and lets you walk through it, you're going to be okay. I mean, we can trust Him. Can't you trust the Lord this morning? Put all of your faith and your hope in Him and your confidence in Him. Lean on Him. You're secure. Don't be afraid. That's what the whole message of this book is. Is God said this and He's going to do it. And if you don't believe it and you go do something else and you put your trust somewhere else, the curse is upon that. The curse is when we put our trust in something else, that thing is an idol to us. And there's always a curse put on idolatry. It's always an abomination to the Lord. If it's our own arm and we trust in it, the Lord's going to smite it. I mean, there's not ever anything going to come of good of us putting trust in something other than the Lord. Even in religion, even in our own righteousness, none of it avails. We can't trust the Lord. We can't trust ourselves to save ourselves. We can't trust ourselves to keep ourselves saved. We've got to constantly put our trust in the Lord. Lord, You are my salvation. You are my deliverance. It's not like the Lord saves you once and then, okay, there you are, and you got to fight it out the rest of the way. No, He wants us to constantly trust in Him for our salvation, to put our trust in the Lord. So He says that here, blessed is the man trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Another scripture I'd like to just look at is this very familiar scripture, one that a lot of people say, and a lot of people have written as little mottos in their house and in their office, and it's very, very so familiar that it becomes just kind of something that we say. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't just say we trust in the Lord, and then when things get hard, here's where we go. We go and do this. We go and have this worked on. We have this worked out for us. By whom? Someone other than the Lord. We get afraid. We get in a panic. We forget what the Lord has already done. We forget how reliable, how constant He is in His faithfulness and His love for us. We get afraid. We forget. And so we, many times in our trials, trusting in the Lord is a last resort for many people. The first thing that many people do is go and do something with whatever trouble that they're having. Especially the first resort that we have usually is to rely upon our own minds, our own thinking, our humanity, what is comfortable for us, what is secure for us, and we forget the Lord. But He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And that's the thing that we tend to do. We tend to lean on our own understanding. Haven't you found, I have, that my understanding is so limited? I misunderstand so much. I'm learning that I don't hear very well, and so I miss a lot of information, and I form conclusions on that missing information. It's chaos. That's a bad thing to do, to trust in our own selves. Because we don't know. For one thing, there's so many things we don't know. We don't know the future. So how can we put our hopes in ourselves and our own efforts when we don't even know the future? But God knows the future. God knows from beginning to end. So we can trust in God. We can, if we can wait upon Him for direction, He knows the future. Another thing we don't know is our own hearts. We don't know how weak we are. We don't know the depth of the mar of sin that was in our character from birth. And us being away from God for as many years as we ever were away from God. Did you know there are ways of thinking ways of concluding and figuring things out that just exclude God, that we get used to thinking that way. That's a mar in us. And we need to, when we return to the Lord, we need to remember, I'm really marred in my thinking. I tend to rely upon my own self. I tend to feel that I'm okay. I need to learn how to trust God to reveal things to me, to show me myself, to realize that I can't understand this without His light and with His help. And we forget those things. Another thing that we don't know is we don't know other people. We don't know down in people's hearts. We misunderstand people's motives. We don't understand many times the evil, the intent that's in people's hearts. And sometimes we don't understand that they're not evil and intended towards. And we imagine it, and we create the situation, and we have it all planned out. And it wasn't that way at all. That's how we do things as humans. And when we rely on that, when we depend on that, we end up messing up real bad. After we've messed up so many times, how can we keep on doing it? How can we again say, I can do this? Can't we? We forget how bad we've botched things in the past. And we go back and we lean on our own selves again. Oh, the Lord's so merciful, so kind, so patient with us. And He'll remind us again, you know you can't do this. You know you don't understand everything. How can you try to manage this situation and control this thing? And just think then, the limitations that we have, the limitations that humans have, and we go and we put all of our trust in another human. I want to warn us this morning, and Bev's been warning me, yes, we're thankful and feel like God had mercy in the election, but we need to keep our trust in God. We can't make the same mistake that people made with in past presidencies, where they put all their trust and said, oh, this man's our Savior. Look what has happened. We can't then turn around on the other side of things and put our trust in a man and say, he's going to make America great. We can't do that. We must trust in the Lord. We must pray, commit our finances, our future. Lord, direct our paths. You know what's going to happen in our country. We may trust in this thought of, it's going to be great again. We're all going to, my children are going to have a chance to have the American dream and be rich again. It may not be. Can we trust the Lord to take us through hard times? Can we trust Him? And what if we went through very difficult times? Would we starve? Would we have roof over our heads? Would we have heat in the winter? Who'd take care of us? Did you know we can trust God? He said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Can we trust Him with this promise? All these things shall be added unto you. There are so many situations in our lives where we really, really still try to control it. Just admit it. I'll admit it. And the Lord has to come and say, you know you can't control this. Just trust in me. Just like what I said about leaving home, realizing that I've got leaks, and I don't just have to tell you, one of the worst things I hate is a water leak. I just think, oh, water's just going to ruin everything. You know, the Lord was saying, just trust me. Just pray. If it's my will, I'll let it happen, and it'll be good for you if it's my will. If it's not my will, I won't let it happen. If I have to do a miracle to not let it happen, hey, I'll do a miracle for you. That's how God wants us to realize that if we'll just ask Him about the mountains, like in the Bible verse there, ask Him about the trees and things that are His realm. You know what? God can, He can take care of us. He can help us. I really believe He wants us to more trust in Him than we do. Now, I want to relate a story from the book of Jeremiah. And it involves several chapters, and I'm not going to read all the verses to the chapters, but I'm going to try to recreate it as a story. This really happened to God's people. Now, Jeremiah had been telling the people, let me see if I can find this here. He had been telling the people, the king of Babylon is going to come and he's going to carry some of you away to Babylon. When you get there, remember, it's because in your hearts you had not stayed faithful to me. But God has promised you that when you fell into idolatry and you got carried away, that if you will turn back to him from where you've been carried away and begin to seek him from there, that he would bless you and he would take care of you there and he would bring you back. I'm just kind of paraphrasing here, but this is what Jeremiah would tell him. He would tell him, don't be afraid of that King Nebuchadnezzar, of what he can do to you. You pray for the peace of the place wherever you're carried to. You build houses, you get married, you have children. Don't be overcome by fear and live in fear. But you, wherever you are, in whatever place you find yourselves in, trust in me and I'll take care of you. That's what he said over and over. Well, these people would try to figure out other things that they could do besides get carried away. They wanted to prevent it if they could. Then there were the people. Okay, so that happened. Okay. Bunch of people got carried away and went into Babylon, but there were people that were left. So then, those people that were left, here's the temptation that they had. And years before, Isaiah, let me get this in Isaiah before we do the lesson in Jeremiah. This is what the Lord had told Isaiah to tell him. Isaiah 30, Isaiah 31. Isaiah 30 and Isaiah 31 deal with this thought of, I see danger coming, I'm going to do something, I'm going to take care of it. Well, we're just going down into Egypt. Well, God had delivered them from Egypt. Spiritually, Egypt was the place where sin was and idol worship. And here they're going to try to escape the proper punishment for their sins, and we'll just go down to Egypt. And Isaiah had told him in Isaiah 30, 31, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. What is this saying? You're seeking someone else besides me. You're trying other ways besides my way. You're trying to do other things than just simply obey me and trust me. You take counsel, but not from me. You try to get covered up and you try to take refuge, but it's not in my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. That they walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be to your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be a help or profit, but a shame and a reproach. Verse 7, for the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. In verse 15, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And you would not. Here, this message, you tried to run away. You tried to figure things out. You tried to go do something else. And he's saying, return to me and rest in me. And that's how you'll be saved. And in quietness and in confidence in me, that is how you're going to be strong. But the tendency of the human is to turn right around and say, no, I won't do that. I want to go do what I want to do. And you said no, for we will flee upon horses. And so what happens in the scripture over and over is when people did this, God would say, okay, do it. You can have what you're wanting. I'll let you have it. And so he gives them up to what they want, and what happens. It ruins them and it destroys them every single time. They go into gross wickedness. When people want something other than God and he lets them go and do it, there's trouble ahead, bad trouble. He said, ye said no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee. That means I'm going to send something to chase you. And we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they be that pursue you be swift. Well, there's so much more there in that chapter. It's so very, very good. But then in chapter 31, verse 1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay or depend or lean, put their confidence in horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Have you ever gone out and just went gung-ho and doing something, and all of a sudden it just hits you? You know, I really didn't pray about this. I really didn't seek the Lord about this. Here I am right in the middle of it, and I have a bad feeling about this. This is not going to be good, because I really didn't take this to the Lord. Well, that's the mercy of the Lord dealing with us. He's dealing with us, and if we would at that moment, if we would pull back and say, hey, y'all, I need to go pray, okay? Let's stop everything and seek the Lord. Remember at the beginning of our country that they did that as they tried to write the Constitution for our country? Wasn't it Ben Franklin that said, he cited an example. What was it? Can anybody remember the example? He was just saying how that nothing happens without God. And he told him, he said, let's seek help from the Almighty. But I can't remember what it was that he gave an example that nothing can... Was it George Washington that I'm thinking of? Anyway, one of those forefathers in our country said, this can't happen unless we seek God. Let's go to prayer. Let's pray. And you know, men of prayer in history have been people who accomplished great things, and not only great things, but things that lasted for a long time. When God put his blessing on something, when somebody sought him, somebody got counsel from God. There was a man, I don't know what year this was, but his name is Savonarola. He lived in France, or was it Italy? It was in Europe, one of those countries in Europe. But he was such a godly man, and they were having political struggles in the country. Go home and read about this and tell me about it later. But I remember reading about this in high school, and I was so impressed. But this man was called upon to help guide the country because he was a very godly man. And he brought the country out of their great distress. And the reason why is because he took it all to the Lord in prayer. I remember reading also about a woman in France during the 1600s. She was a very beautiful woman, but she was a very godly woman. And her beauty made her very vain, and she pursued worldliness for a while, but God sought after her. He struck her down with smallpox so that her beauty was entirely destroyed. And then she used that discipline in her life to draw closer to the Lord and seek for perfect holiness in her life, which she obtained by constantly crucifying with Christ and seeking after him. Well, she taught that to people, and it was illegal for anybody to teach other than the Catholic Church. So they came and got her and put her in prison. Well, but one of the things that happened in her life was she was married to a very evil person, and he eventually died and left her with terrible, pressing financial matters. And she didn't know anything. She knew nothing about legal matters. She had no one to represent her. Everything was against her. His family was against her. And she simply took everything to the Lord in prayer. She went to court, unrepresented by an attorney, but she just simply relied upon God to help her to answer the right answers. He did. She got through all of those legal matters by the help of God. God alone. Now, that's not saying that we need to go through life ignorant and never educate ourselves or anything. But what the point is when we get in need, who do we turn to? Do we rely on flesh, or do we really turn to God and seek Him and trust in Him? Remember, in our songbook, we have a song that says, stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. We can't trust even our own arm. How can we trust another man's arm? So anyway, here in this book, he warns them, don't go to Egypt. Don't look to someone else other than the Lord. In verse 3 of Isaiah 31, it says, now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. Well, verse 6, turn ye unto him from whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. Well, he gives promise after promise. And in the book of Jeremiah, all of those things begin to come true. And they got to this situation where, now let's look, Jeremiah, he had already told him, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil. I mean to do you well. I will take care of you. So they came and got some of the people, carried them away to Babylon. Let me just find where this story begins here. Chapter 40, Jeremiah had been set free, and he had gone. And he told the governor, the king of Babylon had made this man, Gedaliah, the governor over the cities of Judah, the people that had been left after the others had been carried away. The king made Gedaliah governor. And so Jeremiah went to him, and he lived right there with Gedaliah and all these people that were left. Now, in verse 7 of chapter 40, when all the captains of the forces which were in the fields, even they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor in the land, and had committed unto him men and women and children, and of the poor of the land, of them that were not carried away captive to Babylon, then they came to Gedaliah. And it tells the names of all these people, these princes who came to him. It was these were people that we learn later could not be trusted. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, Johanan, and Jonathan. Anyway, that's some of the men that came. They came to Gedaliah, and he told them, he said in verse 9, fear not to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. That's what God had told him. That's what Jeremiah had told him. So this is what now the governor is telling them. No doubt he consults with Jeremiah. Jeremiah's right there with him. And this is what God is saying. Don't fear. Don't try to work things out. Don't try to go anywhere. You stay right here, and it's going to be well with you. As for me, behold, I will dwell at Mizpah to serve the Chaldeans, which will come unto us. But ye, gather ye wine and summer fruits and oil, and put them in your vessels, and dwell in your cities that ye have taken. So that was their orders. It was from God. It says, likewise, when all the Jews that had been scattered around in different places, when they heard that the king of Babylon had left a remnant, and that he had set over them Gedaliah, then they came, and they all settled there. So you have this settlement of Jews who were left and didn't go into captivity. Well, this Johanan who had come up with Ishmael, he came to Gedaliah and he said, Ishmael is going to kill you. It's quite a drama here. This king of the Ammonites has sent Ishmael that came up with us to kill you. Well, Gedaliah didn't believe him. And Johanan said, let me go take care of this Ishmael guy, and I'll get him out of the way for you. Well, Gedaliah said, no, I don't think you're telling me the truth. It was the truth. Ishmael did come. He came and he killed Gedaliah, but it was a secret. He did it in secret, and then other men came to worship the Lord and bring incense and offerings to the house of the Lord. Ishmael had just killed their governor. He went out with them and he pretended to weep and worship with them. This is a bad guy here. And right in the middle of that worship, he said, come and see Gedaliah. Well, he had just killed him. So he took him over there, and when they got over there with him, he killed them. So this man, you can see, to me, I thought, if I was a person, if I was like a lowly housewife and one of these men was my husband, and he went over there and this Ishmael guy killed him, well then, how would I feel? I'm over here, I'm a widow. I'm over here and all of this violence is happening. I never know what's going to come next. First we had this man. This man came and killed him, and now he's killing all these other Jews and our countrymen. What's going to become of us? Can you sense the feeling of uncertainty and fear that these people had? And all this time, Jeremiah had said, just stay here. Don't try to go anywhere. Just stay here. I thought about this. I thought, how would I do? Would I be contented to stay there? I don't know what's going to happen to me. People are being killed all around me. So he carried captive all of these people and took them that were left, all the people that were left, verse 10 of chapter 41. He took all the people that were left that he hadn't killed and took them and to go over to the Ammonites. Well, Johanan, the one that had told Gedaliah, Ishmael's up to no good, he comes into the picture again. So he came, and he fought with Ishmael. And Ishmael, he didn't get Ishmael, he escaped, but he did run him off. And Johanan took all the people then, and he brought them back. But he didn't bring them back to stay. His plan was, let's all go to Egypt. You know, he acted like he was their savior. Everything's going to be good now. I've got a plan. Let's go down to Egypt. Well, God had warned him, don't go to Egypt. You'll be destroyed there. You trust in me. You obey me and stay right here. You see how hard it was for them to stay right there? It was so uncertain. There was uprisings all the time of this coup and that coup, throwing this one off, and it was very hard for them to trust the Lord. It said in verse 17, they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go to enter into Egypt. Because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them. Because Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had slain Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, whom the king of Babylon made governor in the land. They were just riddled with fear. And yet God had said, don't go to Egypt. Trust in me. Jeremiah was there. I imagine that he would tell these women that were just shivering with fright, what are we going to do? We don't know how we're going to live. Our men are gone. What are we going to do when we've trusted God? Well, this Johanan, he was treacherous. He came Let's see, chapter 42 now, verse 1. Then all the captains of the forces in Johanan, all the people from the least to the greatest, came near and said to Jeremiah, Let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. It looked like that they were going to turn to the Lord here. And whenever I was reading, I thought, oh, good. That's what they're supposed to do. But you read on, and it just gets really bad. So Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not do even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. These people are not ignorant. They knew what they were doing. They promised to trust him. They vowed right here. I looked at it and I thought, they're doing good. This is what they're supposed to do. Well, it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom you sent me to present your supplication before him. If you will still abide in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I'll show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you, and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, say no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war. You see, they wanted peace so bad. They wanted things to be secure so bad. That's really what they wanted, that more than God. We'll see no war, neither hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. And the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you, and there in Egypt, and there you shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. And none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. Well, it's pretty clear what the Lord said. Verse 19, the Lord hath said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. And then the Lord revealed to him that they weren't honest when they came and said, show us which way we should go. Because they had it in their mind all the time. We're going to go to Egypt. We're not really going to trust in the Lord. But they came and they said, whatever you say to us, whether it be good or evil, that's what we're going to do. But God showed Jeremiah, he said, you dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God. And according unto all that he, the Lord our God, shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. He said, you weren't honest. And now I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, in the place whither you desire to go and to sojourn. So then, story goes on, chapter 43. Johanan and Azariah, two of the leaders there. And it said, and all the proud men. They spoke to the people. They spoke to Jeremiah. They said, you speak falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent you to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. You know, this happens today. It happens to people. God will speak and God will give his will and show it through his servants and show it through those that he speaks through, and the people will say, I don't think the Lord really means that. I don't think that's true. We don't have to do that. It happens all the time. People, it says, these leaders and all the proud men, they said, the Lord hasn't sent you. But Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us. You've got someone that's against us. He's telling you these things in your ear. Who was Baruch? Baruch was the scribe that when God would give Jeremiah something to say to the people, Baruch would write it down and he would deliver the messages to him. And they said, that Baruch fella that you've got, he's setting you against us. He's got something against us. So this is what is happening. He's setting you against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant from all nations that were of Judah that were returned from all nations whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children and the king's daughters and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch the son of Neriah. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tahpanhes. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tahpanhes, saying, looks like they took Jeremiah with them. Is that what this is saying? It sounds like that he's down there in Egypt with them. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah in Tahpanhes, saying, take great stones in thine hand and hide them in the clay in the brick kiln, which is in the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tahpanhes, in the sight of the men of Judah. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. So see, God knew that Nebuchadnezzar was headed next for Egypt. They went to Egypt to refuge there, and that's where Nebuchadnezzar would come. If they would have stayed in the land of Judah, which some did, there were a few people. God has always had a remnant of people that would trust in him. There were just a few. Now, one scripture says, I'll leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people who shall trust in the Lord their God. And there were some people that did stay. And God, they were there until everybody came back from Babylon. And the Lord preserved them. Anyway, I don't know how Jeremiah got out of there. I haven't read that far. Sometimes when I'm reading, it gets so, there's so many names and so many things that happen, and I have to go back and I have to look and put this together and try to keep it together in my mind. I get confused sometimes. But anyway, the Lord spoke these things to him, and you can go on and read and read and read about the judgment that the Lord brought upon Egypt. He didn't want his people in Egypt. He doesn't want us to lean on anything else. He doesn't want us to go back into the world of sin and get our help. He doesn't want us to use the things, the idols, the ideas, the philosophies, the answers to life's problems that this world has come up with. He doesn't want us to look at the horoscopes. He doesn't want us to do all this stuff that people do, meditate and yoga and all this stuff that comes from these other gods and other religions. That's not where our help is. Our help is in the Lord. He doesn't want us to go to the places where man is exalted and glorified. He told his people in the New Testament, he said, when you get sick, call for the elders of the church. Have them pray over you and anoint you in the name of the Lord. I believe his purpose was there. When you have something wrong, come to me first. Look to me. Trust in me. His heart has always been, put me first in your life. Trust in me with all of your heart. Go do what I ask you to do. Follow my Spirit's leadings. Instead, so many times we say, no, we will flee into Egypt. Remember, in the Scriptures, any time that they went back to Egypt, there was trouble. God wanted his people out of Egypt. He wanted them to be his people, to trust in him. He wanted to be their God. He wanted to be their father. He wanted to supply for them. He wanted to save them, to preserve them, to care for them, to protect them. He wants us to be his people too. I believe that God is calling for people who will fully trust in him even yet today.